News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, welcome to the show, Bowerly and Bellavia. You know, it's such a beautiful Friday that I kind of don't like coming to you with a serious topic, but nonetheless, we are going to do a serious topic today, and I want to ask you what you think the situation is with the little boy and the burned out car. By now, we have seen the surveillance video that has been released by the Buffalo Police Department. And if you have not seen the video, you can check it out by going to WBEN.com. So what I want to do, and I'll try to do what I've been doing the past few days, since you guys seem to like it, which is kind of like lightning talk radio, getting people on as fast as I can and getting as many calls on as I can. And the phone number, I'm not going to take calls, though, for a few minutes. It's 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So, I mean, let's look at the facts that we know. There are three missing grown-ups, the parents of the little boy, and a so-called friend of the family. There are three missing grown-ups. How many bodies were found in the car that was burned out? There were two bodies found in the car that was burned out. Which parent has called anybody to say, hey, we're okay, don't worry about us, please tell our little boy that we're okay? So either they are dead or they're not in a position to make a phone call. But a parent, most of the time, is not going to leave family members in this kind of suspense. So it would be, I think, a reasonable assumption that most likely the two people in the car who are dead are probably the parents of that little boy. But wait a minute. There are three missing people. There are the parents of the little boy, and there's also the friend who came with them. Now, I will just tell you something, and I would like you to mark my words on this. I want you to hear what I'm saying, and I don't want you to discount it. It would not surprise me at all if we find out that the skulls of the two dead people in the burned out car had bullet entry wounds in the back of the head. Let me just say that again. It would not surprise me at all if we find out that the two skulls in the burned out car have bullet entry wounds in the back of the head. So let's just assume that I know what I'm talking about. Where is the third missing adult? Two bodies were found in the burned out car. We have one missing adult. That missing adult is either dead, somehow incapacitated and unable to pick up a telephone, or doesn't want to be found. And who wouldn't want to be found to help track the killers of the friends, so-called, they drove up here from Orlando with? So you have three missing grown-ups. You have two skulls, two sets of human remains that were found in the burned-out car. It would not surprise me at all. Lengthy cough on the microphone. It would not surprise me at all to learn, maybe sooner rather than later, that both of the dead people had bullet holes in the backs of their heads. And we still have that pesky missing third person, don't we? Now, what do we know about the surveillance videos that were released by the Buffalo Police? We saw one man walking toward the car before the fire started. He did not appear to be carrying anything in his hands that I could see. Kind of almost looked like his hands were in his pocket, did it not? So you had one adult walking toward the car that was about to be torched. Yet after the fire, the other video surveillance footage shows not one person, but two people and the baby running from the burning car. So let's just get this straight. One person is walking toward the car before the fire, and yet after the fire, one grown-up and one child plus one other grown-up are seen running from the car. And may I remind you that we have one missing grown-up in the case who is being sought. It almost makes you wonder if maybe the friend wasn't such a friend. I mean, I don't know anything, but I am simply looking at the available information and offering some scattered thoughts as to what is going on here. Because it's troubling to me that the third missing adult has not proclaimed his presence to anybody in law enforcement. That I am concerned. I simply mention this out of concern for that individual. Three people missing, two known to be dead. I think you'll find out that they had bullet wounds in the backs of their head. Two grown-ups and one baby running from the burning car. Is it possible that there originally were three people in that car, one of whom might have been in the back seat? Is it possible that the person in the back seat, Godfather 1 style, with what they did with Paulie, shot both parents in the back of the head? Is it possible that this was a prearranged ambush? Is it possible that the reason no gas cans can be seen in video footage number one is because they may have been pre-positioned in the field by where the car was going to be burned? Because if this was an inside job, if this was somebody from the back seat, I find it hard to imagine how having full cans of gasoline in a vehicle would not arouse the suspicion of the people in the front seat of the vehicle. So that leads me to wonder whether the filled gas cans may have been pre-positioned at a rendezvous point. Something else that stands out in my mind: this car was virtually incinerated by this fire. Whoever started this fire, I'm going to go out on a limb, and on this one, I don't know. This is simply speculation. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think this is their first rodeo, because that car and all of the forensic evidence that it would have contained, which would have physically connected the killers with the victims, would have been destroyed. The only thing that would be left would be the human remains and the DNA, which probably would have to be extracted from the teeth in order to positively identify the two victims. It's also interesting to me that the baby seen running from the car with the two men seems to gravitate toward one of the men in particular. There are three missing adults, the two dead people in the car. I think you'll find out that they had bullet holes in the back of their heads. And we know that the baby that was running from the car seemed to favor one of the individuals running from the car. So what is going on here? And by the way, it's also obvious that whoever did this had to have a motive for wanting to make sure that the two dead people were in fact dead. They had to be dead. The intensity of the fire, I mean, this was not accident. This was intentional. Whoever did in these poor people wanted to make sure that they were absolutely deceased. And where is the third person? The third person that came up here from Florida with the dead people. Now, is there a possibility? Because 4.4 pounds of cocaine was found in the hotel room in Cheektowaga, rented by these people. Is it possible that there might have been a lot of cocaine in the van that was burned? Is it possible that when you're dealing with that much blow, with the kind of street value, I mean, even 4.4 pounds, you know, that'll set you up pretty nicely for a couple of years. Is it possible that there was additional cocaine in the van? Of course, we'll probably never know that because of the intensity of the fire. We'll never know if there was cocaine in the van. But if there was 4.4 pounds in the room, which, by the way, I will also return to, if there was 4.4 pounds of cocaine in the room, and roughly a low estimate of the street value of that, and this is a very low estimate of the street value of that, you're looking at least $200,000 to $250,000 of cocaine that was found in that hotel room. And that is a low-end estimate. That's not even a high-end estimate. That's a low-end estimate. So is it possible that these people were lured into some kind of an ambush? Is it possible that these people were shot by somebody inside the van through the back of the head, that the cocaine, if any, was in that vehicle, was stolen, and that this crime fundamentally has at its origins cocaine and basically stolen blow to be sold at no cost to the dealer? The dealer made off with a bunch of free cocaine. Now, this obviously, I would think, poses some interesting questions. For the people in law enforcement, obviously, they want to track down whoever did this. Obviously, they have an interest in solving what is going to prove to be a double murder, not to mention making sure that the little boy is in loving and safe hands, so that that's one less thing about which to worry. And if you have stolen cocaine from a distributor for a bigger distributor in Florida, if you don't have the blessing of the bigger distributor in Florida, the bigger distributor in Florida is going to be pretty upset that product is missing and that that bigger distributor is out at least, we'll call it $200,000. They're going to be very upset if this wasn't a sanctioned situation. Now, what do I mean by a sanctioned situation? As you know from the movies, if there was any hint or suspicion as to the loyalty of drug mules, they don't exactly believe in due process in the drug business. If somebody suspects that you are being disloyal in any way, you are not going to be very, very long for this world. On the other hand, if you basically rip off a distributor in Florida, in Buffalo, and that distributor is out product and money, that distributor is going to be pretty angry. And I suspect the distributor's justice might be a little different than the justice that a courtroom is going to provide here in Western New York or anywhere. So let's just keep a few facts in mind if we can. There are three missing grown-ups. The two bodies in the burned-out vehicle, it would not surprise me in the least, stage cough, if we find out that there were bullet holes in the back of the heads of both of those people. We know that neither parent has reached out to anybody, telling anybody, including their little boy or their family members, that they are okay. We also know that the third missing grown-up has not reached out to anybody, or he wouldn't be missing. We know that one man is seen walking toward the car before the fire. We know that two men, the missing person, by the way, we know that two men, by the way, and the baby are seen running from the car, and the baby seems to favor one of the men in particular. So what do you think we have going on here? I mean, I can only tell you what we have been presented as fact. I can only tell you what I have seen on the TV and at WBEN.com in terms of the surveillance video. And I can only imagine the, not the consequences, but the significance and the interpretation of what we see on the surveillance video. In short, it would not surprise me at all if, at the end of the day, this was a theft of cocaine for resale by somebody who didn't pay for it. Like in the movie Scarface with Al Pacino, when Al Pacino returns to his big boss with the money with which he was going to make the buy, as well as the drugs from the Colombians who cut up his buddy in the shower. If you've seen the movie, not Serpico, if you've seen the movie Scarface, you know of what I speak. So based on what we believe to be the available facts, what are some of the questions going on in your mind relative to this tragic case in which, and let's not lose sight of this, a little boy, a three-year-old boy, was in some way, shape, or form forced to find shelter in a house porch on Potomac Avenue in Buffalo, utilizing a box with a blanket that the owner of that house had graciously put out for the use of the neighborhood cats so they would have a nice, warm place to sleep at night. This little boy was found, and the little boy apparently was only wearing, what, a diaper? A pull-up diaper? Now, think about that for just a moment. If it's true that the little boy was only wearing a pull-up diaper, what would the motive be for removing the rest of the little boy's clothes? Maybe to destroy DNA evidence that came in contact with the little boy's clothes? And could point to a suspect, or at least somebody who was very close to the crime scene prior to the crime taking place. 803-0930 is the telephone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if both of the people that were found in that van were found to have gunshot wounds in the back of the head. Wouldn't surprise me in the least. So what is your take, and what questions do you have about the burned out car with the two bodies found in it and the little boy who was left to apparently wander on his own, eventually finding shelter in a cardboard box near where the burned out car was found earlier this week? What questions do you have? How do you think this whole thing is going to play out? You might have seen something I didn't see. You may have a different line of thinking about this. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And now somebody said, well, how do we know it's two men running from the scene of the fire? Looks to me like two men, obviously wearing clothes. I cannot tell determinatively which which gender we are we're talking about. The one person I think is clearly a man, and if I was betting on it, I'd assign a very high probability to the second also being a man. Can I give you 100% on that? No, I can't, but it appears to me to be a male individual who was holding at one point the hand of the three-year-old boy. Our phone number is 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And, it would not be, in a situation like this, when you're talking about the vast amounts of money from the drug trade, it certainly, if it turns out that these people were ambushed so somebody could rip off the drugs and the money and try to lay low for a while, it certainly wouldn't be the first time in criminal history that something like that has taken place. The fact that the little boy was spared, I find that to be very, very interesting. Why was the little boy spared? I don't think that it is unreasonable to suggest that somebody in that van had an affinity for that little boy and did not want to see that little boy die in that van. Because a random, heartless drug murder is not going to really give a damn whether the three-year-old is there or not. The three-year-old, more likely as not, is going to end up dead. Why? Because you are leaving a living witness. So I find that part of it interesting. The three-year-old boy was allowed to live. Why would a three-year-old boy be allowed to live? That indicates to me an emotional attachment or affinity between one of the people running from the fire and that three-year-old boy. A cartel assassin is not going to give a damn that three-year-old would have been killed. Why leave a living witness? 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. What do you guys think of all this? Here's Mary in Niagara Falls. Mary, tragic story. What's your read on the facts?
Well, I have the same idea as you have, but I also noticed that in the video, the little boy has clothes on. And when they found him on the porch, he was just in a diaper.
Right.
So someone put him there. I mean.
Well, and again, you have to look at what would be the motivation for removing the clothing from a child. What do we know happens with clothing? DNA sticks to clothing. Contact with DNA takes place. And without that surface clothing, that would make putting somebody at the scene of this young boy's disappearance a little bit more complicated.
Right. But that when I saw the video, I saw he did have clothes on. That struck me right away.
Well, and you know, the fact that they took the trouble to remove the clothes from the boy, and the destruction, the almost complete destruction of that automobile, indicates to me a level of, shall we say, criminal sophistication and arson sophistication that tells me this is probably not somebody's first rodeo.
Right, right. And how one ran to the car and two ran away with the little boy. And
Give me a reason why the three-year-old boy was allowed to live. What makes the most sense?
I don't know. Maybe they just felt, you know, he wasn't part of it.
Yeah, but see, what you're doing, but even a three-year-old leaving a living witness to what has happened is a dangerous enterprise. So somebody made a value judgment at the scene that they could not justify killing that little boy who may end up proving to be their undoing. I hope that little boy is receiving the proper protection.
Right, and
because that little boy at 3 years old, I'm guessing, is verbal enough to at least give police the basics of what happened.
Right.
But the look, a cartel, I'm just going to say this again, a cartel assassin doesn't give a darn whether he kills a three-year-old.
Right. There had to be a connection. There had to be a closer connection with the little boy. So.
There was a connection that prohibited the criminals from killing that kid.
Right. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. What do you think's going on here, folks? All we can do is look at the facts we know and draw interpretations based on what we think we know. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. It's Tim in Allentown. Tim.
Thank you, Mr. Bowerly, for the vine. Hello?
I am listening.
Okay. One question. Has the authorities established any family, paternal, maternal connection between the boy and the two bodies in the car, or they still don't know exactly?
Oh, they will not know that for weeks or months. Those remains are badly deteriorated, and it's going to involve some work extracting DNA.
Right.
But here's what I'm going to say. The reason I happen to think it's the parents is nobody these are the parents of a three-year-old kid. Do you know any parent of a three-year-old kid under the circumstances who, if they could, wouldn't be calling to say, hey, I'm okay?
Granted. Now, the observation, the quote that got my eye from reading in the paper from either the paternal grandmother or the maternal grandmother was, at least the couple took many long road trips, and they're from Florida. Have you seen the latest Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule?
I haven't seen The Mule, no.
But do you get the idea? You would if you saw the movie?
Well, I mean, it doesn't take Einstein to figure out these people were not here to see Niagara Falls. Look, 4 pounds of cocaine, no user is going to have 4.4 pounds of cocaine.
So they have found 4.4 pounds of cocaine.
I think this is very important. Presumably, the person missing from that van, I'm going to guess they knew that there were 4 pounds of cocaine left in that hotel room. However, one might ask the question, why wouldn't you go back to retrieve $200,000 worth of blow after the crime was committed? And I think the answer is pretty obvious, because what do we know hotels have a lot of? Security cameras. How suspicious would it be to be seen going back into a room and retrieving a package an hour after a car is set on fire with, under the circumstances, it was set on fire?
Okay, so then you shot down my last possibility. Because the blow was left behind, but the child was taken, now it suddenly starts to look like, was there a special interest in the child? Were they bringing the child up from Florida through undocumented circumstances?
Well, here's the fact that they apparently abandoned the child in an unfamiliar neighborhood and allowed him to sleep on a front porch indicates to me they didn't want the kid to die, but they wanted to sever the connection with the kid.
Right. But you're talking about the people that apparently started the fire, the two males, right?
Yes.
Okay, now you got me wondering. Okay, thanks for listening to me. I enjoy your show.
All right, brother.
Keep it up.
Yep, thanks very much. I appreciate it. And if you're just joining us, let me just emphatically state, it would not surprise me at all if we find out that both of the skulls found in that burned-out car had bullet wounds with entrance wounds to the back of the head. That wouldn't surprise me in the least. Let's go to Larry in West Seneca on WBEN. Hello.
Tom, when that story broke, I could have sworn I heard the woman that owned the porch that the kid was found on say, quote, the kid is saying, my mommy's dead in the car. And that's been buried since the get-go. It's the only time I ever heard it was when the story broke. I'm a news junkie. I'm flipping channels, and I can't remember which.
If anybody can copy and paste that quote and source it and email it to me at tom@wben.com, it would be appreciated. I don't remember the quote. I didn't see the quote.
No, they buried it since. I mean, for probably obvious reasons, but
Well, look, this kid needs to be under constant 24-hour police protection, because this kid is an eyewitness to, in my humble opinion, this kid is an eyewitness to a pretty serious drug theft crime.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not just law enforcement that's going to be interested in this. It's the cartels that are going to be interested in this. So that kid has got to be protected.
Yep, absolutely. Tragedy.
It absolutely is, but the fact that a couple would take numerous long road trips together, does it raise an eyebrow under the circumstances? How could it not raise an eyebrow under the circumstances without making any specific accusation? One of the questions that I have that I'm hoping to get answered soon is the criminal history of those involved, the parents as well as the missing so-called friend.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a lot coming to the surface in the next week or two, and it's not any of it's going to be good.
Well, all we can do now is look at the facts or what we believe to be the facts. Is there anything about my interpretation that you would question or want to correct?
No, I think you're spot on, with all of it. But, you know, I said from the go, I said, this is a drug deal gone bad. I go, they don't incinerate you for because you flipped them off or something. There was motivation here. There was somebody got burned or somebody didn't show up with something, or and again, that's all going to come out, I guess, in the wash.
Or if those gas cans were pre-positioned, because remember, the suspect walking toward the car before it burns is not carrying gas cans that I can see, which indicates to me a greater likelihood that they were pre-positioned for incineration purposes prior to the meet, than as opposed to somebody just bringing cans of gasoline into the van.
Right.
And unless here's another possibility, unless the gasoline was brought along and the people in the van were told, after we do this deal to eliminate all evidence, we're going to burn the van and we're going to make our way away in another car. That is also a possibility.
Yeah, I didn't think of that.
All right, thanks very much. I mean, the idea being to destroy evidence, like you saw. Remember in the movie Heat when they blew up the ambulance? It is 3:50 at News Radio 930 WBEN. What do you make of this tragic story that took place this week? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And remember, sometimes it is equally important what doesn't happen as what does happen. The fact that the three-year-old boy was allowed to live, there is something to that, in my opinion, because the cartel wouldn't care about killing a three-year-old. Your take on the facts we know and the inferences we can make regarding that burned-out car in Buffalo and the three-year-old boy found on the couch. And again, remember, we have three missing adults. We have two adult bodies that were found in that burned-out vehicle. Wouldn't surprise me at all if you find out that both of those skulls had entrance wounds in the back of them and the little kid was allowed to live. Why would a little kid be allowed to live? A little kid who was holding the hand of one of the individuals seen running from the burning car. Sometimes it's not what you see, it's what you don't see. Here's Dan in West Seneca on WBEN. Hello.
You know, Tom, listening to you, I did come up with a theory, and I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but you had two men and a woman who seemed to be some type of drug mule, if that's the terminology, and I would bet that we're going to find out that the wife and the third wheel, the second man, were probably a little too friendly with one another. There was a lot of money at stake, and I think the father probably, you're going to find out that the bodies in the car that were badly burned were male and female, one being the child's mother and the other one being the second man who came up from Florida. They all came up together, and the reason that the child is still alive is the guy was the father, and he knew that he probably was of no longer any use to the child. And he saved his own child. I would bet you're going to find out that it was some type of love triangle, a lot of drugs, a lot of money, and a lot of lying.
If it was, okay, and by the way, your theory is as good as anything else because we don't know all the facts, but here's my question about that. If this was a love triangle situation, why bring in a fourth party? The person we see walking toward the vehicle before the fire starts, that's unusual in a love triangle homicide situation.
I'm going to agree, except for the one thing that you haven't emphasized. You did bring it up, and you said that it was in the area of $200,000. So that kind of money could make strange friends. Friends that normally wouldn't be friends suddenly could be best friends. I the whole thing is dirty. We don't have enough information, but I think the one thing that you pointed out better than anybody is when that type of crime is committed, you don't want any witnesses left at all, and somebody cared enough about that child to allow it to survive. So that was either mom or dad.
Or could it be the friend of the family?
Wow, you're asking a lot. If you have a lot of faith in people, I guess I will say yes. But being old and I've lived a long, very good life, I'm probably not, because...
Well, see, my inclination is that with a missing kid, a parent would make a phone call to somebody, even surreptitiously, to say, I'm alive and well, take care of the boy.
Not if you're the murderer, not if you're the perpetrator.
Yeah, parenting can make people do silly things and illogical things. Look, you may very well be right, and that's why I'm doing the show, to figure out where you guys are on this. And your theory may absolutely be correct, and I could be wrong. And I'm glad you called in. Thank you.